And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 359. It's your week 15 Fab preview as we keep moving along to the fantasy baseball season. I looked the other day, it's like 2 weeks from the All-Star game, which is crazy. We're almost to that section of the season. But we're going to preview each team's schedule as usual, some two-star pitchers and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can follow me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good, man. Was a little nervous entering the show tonight. Wasn't sure if you and Curlin were going to wrap up your 30-team playing time pod this afternoon on bench with
Bubba. If he had it his way, we'd still be going.
It was a little dicey early on the pace, but you guys picked it up. No, it was a good show. We all like to give Curlin some crap, but yeah, I was a little nervous at you know, it would 8 hours later butt into our show, but I'm glad you guys got it done.
Yes, we got it done. That is for sure. We sped through the final maybe 10 teams, so we got there
before. Did you have anything on the Phillies? That's the ultimate. Did you have anything?
That was one of the quickest ones. That's definitely one of the quickest ones. Always. Yes. Yes. Not a whole lot to discuss when it comes to the fighting Phils. Yeah. Beast mode with Brandon Marsh, I guess, would be the conversation, but we don't have time to do that. But yeah, it was another eventful show with the king himself, who was back promoting his prospects live playing time tools, which is some pretty cool stuff. All his news and notes over there. So go support the king, is what we would say around these parts. But what's going on with you, Ryan? Anything fun and exciting as the week is winding down?
Oh, not too much. I am off.
How are your teams doing?
I am off. I'm not going to answer that because I know it's in jest. A, I know it's in jest, and B, not so well. So there we go. And I'm not a guest on this show. I'm a co-host.
That's right.
Who the hell cares how my teams are doing?
Well, I'm going to be a wacky one tonight. I'm just warning everybody.
Actually, it's been a little, but I've got five teams in second place, which is,
see, here it goes.
There we go. There we go. Ticking up. No, I'm doing good, man. I got one more day of work and then taking the week off next week. We're gonna go to the coast, spend most of the week on the Oregon coast next week. So we will not have a live show on Tuesday, but we will the next Thursday night. I told the family, you know, We got Fab preview. We got to cut the family vacation short. So, we will have a live Fab preview next Thursday night. Can't miss that.
And I did not force him to do that, folks. So if anybody's pointing any fingers, it's not to the left side of your screen. Yes.
No, it worked out. My youngest's birthday is July 3rd, that Friday. So we want to get back in town for his birthday. So it coincided with being available for the Fab preview next week. But yeah, no live show next Tuesday night. We will pre-record. We'll do second base, shortstop, third base, midterm position recaps. Yep.
Yep. Just kind of pick up where we left off this past Tuesday as we run through the first half of the season per positions and kind of see how much has gone right and wrong. And they're not all going to be first base, is the kicker, if you haven't listened to Tuesday's show yet. That was pretty crazy stuff. The other announcement that we have, First Pitch Arizona 2026 registration is live on the Baseball HQ website, November 5th through November 8th in Mesa, Arizona at the Sheraton Wrigleyville. I think I got that all right, actually. Ryan, what else would you like to add to that? Because I know there's more details in play.
Got it right. You even pronounced it right. So that's good. Not a hard one to pronounce, but yeah. I won't go too much into it. We're going to bug you guys incessantly probably over the next few months just because we love First Pitch so much. It's basically 4 days to be able to hang out, go to games, talk baseball, do extracurriculars. We are most likely 99% chance running golf on that Thursday, November 5th. So both of us.
Bubba and the Bloom Invitational, as some might call it.
Yes, I need to work on my marketing prowess. The Bubba and the fifth annual Bubba and the Bloom Invitational will take place on Thursday, November 5th. We are working with Dobson Ranch to hopefully get that sewn up quickly. So if Yeah, if I don't know, we could go on about first pitch, but if you're interested, if you have questions about it, let us know. We already had some questions in the Discord today. Would love to see as many listeners out there as possible. It is an awesome time, an awesome experience. I've been going for like 12, 13 years now. This might be your fourth, fifth year, something like that.
Well, at least five, because we met the year we didn't play golf. We played golf 4 more years, so 5 years probably.
Oh yeah, we would not have the fifth annual Bubba and the Bloom Invitational if you had not joined yet. So that all checks out. But yeah, if I know it's an investment, in time, it's an investment in money. Everyone that I've talked to that has gone says it's well worth it. But yeah, if you guys are interested in going, we'd love to meet you all. We will do some type of Bubba and the Bloom on top of the golf. We will do some type of Bubba and the Bloom meetup, usually at one of the games of the Home Run Derby or something, but all to be determined. But if you're interested, go to baseballhq.com. They will have a banner, huge first pitch banner up on the site within the next day or so. You can click in there, get all the details, hotel room block. You can see last year's agenda. So you can kind of get a lay of the land for times and that sort of thing and kind of the things we cover. But yeah, I can't recommend it enough. If you guys are interested and want to do it, let us know. We'd be happy to see you all out there.
And Woody's in the chat saying he's already booked his plane tickets, which is great. Excellent. To see. Good to see Woody once again this year. The one thing I'll add, and again, like Ryan said, we'll bug you about this incessantly throughout the rest of the summer. For anybody that's kind of curious, like, is it a nerdathon? Yes, it is. It's a fantasy baseball nerdathon, but it's also just if you love baseball, because we just sit there and talk baseball. Mm-hmm. We go to ballparks. Some of the panels are just scouts, not even a whole lot of fantasy relevance to them. Like it's just baseball through and through with a heck of a fantasy twist is the way I'd put it. So yeah. It's not just for the fantasy diehards. Like if you have, you know, some people like Jason Collette brought his daughter this past year because she loves baseball and she had a blast. So it's not just for the fantasy baseball folks out there. It's a little bit of everybody. If you like baseball, you'll enjoy the conference.
See how many Bloomfields we can round up for this one. Last year we had Papa Bloom, Brother Bloom, Uncle Bloom.
Yep, that was a heck of a that might be the quota for the most allowed in the same place at the same time. So because we had to do them in two separate hotels because of that, I think. So
yeah, we had to physically divide.
Yeah, divide and conquer is what you guys did, but that's another history.
We didn't conquer much. Yeah,
you conquered a couple bottles of booze and maybe something else from the leftover tray at some wings place, but again, whole other conversation for another day. This is why it's a great trip, folks. Memories. And again, this is where the show began, was first pitch Arizona. Yes. So yes. The kind of formation of it happened there. So it's kind of a special place in that regard for us as well. But enough of that. Again, we will talk about it over and over again. Let's get to the Week 15 Fab preview. We won't do any news at the top. We'll talk about that throughout the show. But Ryan, what do we got this week when we're checking out the weekly planner that you Bubba and the Bloom on the Patreon, folks, updating for you every single day, Mr. Bloomfield?
We have our first 5-game week.
That's a crime.
Anyone, the Kansas City Royals are a lucky winner. I had to double check because they're the only 5-game team.
Weird to have only one 5.
Yeah, it's World Cup related, so we can blame soccer. But
you have 9-7 games, so it's not even 7. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. 7 game teams are the White Sox, Guardians, Marlins, Reds, Brewers, Pirates, Rockies, all at home. Rockies. That's another first for this season. We have an actual full Coors week for the first time. A bunch of righties, too, that the Rockies will face. So we'll get there. But the Dodgers and Padres also have 7 games. But yeah, the Royals, I think, don't play on Friday, and then they play like a wraparound series with the Phillies Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So it's a 2-game weekend for the Royals and Phillies, as well as Detroit and some other team that is World Cup related. So, those are the only kind of scheduling quirks.
Detroit and the Rangers.
And the Rangers. So those are the only scheduling quirks this week. We've got the A's at home for 6. Already mentioned the Rockies are at home for 7. And then the Reds are,
they got 3
delayed tonight. They're split. 4 at Milwaukee, 3 at home against the Baltimore Orioles. So 7-game week for the Reds, but only 3 are at Great American Small Park.
And the Reds just played three against Milwaukee there and couldn't score a freaking run. So go figure. The Drohan, don't mess with the Drohan, finished off with three, just Woodruff, Drohan, and I think it was Sproat just dominated them, which is hilarious. All right, let's get to it. Week 15, FAD, team by team, per usual. Start with the Baltimore Orioles. Six games this week, three at home versus the White Sox, three at Cincinnati in Great American, one lefty and two righties for that Great American series. Overall, two lefties and four righties. For your Baltimore Orioles, Ryan, I don't have a lot here. Like, if Jackson Holliday is still hurt, it obviously opens the door for some playing time for Jeremiah Jackson, who hasn't been good. You talked about blazing it up last week. He's doing okay. And then Colton Cowser's kind of in a slump again, is what I would say.
AI camera has failed.
There we go. Are you messed up again? That. Yes,
yeah,
you are.
It turned red on me. We're going to have a weird view of me, which, you know, you may want to tune in to YouTube. Camera's pointed down. Folks. I don't know.
Yep. Don't stand up.
Yeah, I am wearing pants tonight, so that is good. The off night, I actually do. So
good.
Baltimore Orioles. Yeah, we're on our first team. This is going smoothly. I don't have anything. I'll mention Blaze Alexander just because he is in 12 team, only 38% rostered. That feels very low, but that's also, I think, a byproduct of 12 teamers right now. It's just not as reactive. So Blaze Alexander, I think, is a really good pickup, playing really well right now, qualifies almost everywhere. Shortstop, outfield, second and third. So that's a useful piece. And he's playing third pretty much every day for the Orioles. So that's the only name I'll throw out there on the hitting side.
Yeah, and I'll bring it up. Most people should know by now, but if you are on the Tyler O'Neill train, he's pretty much been relegated to a platoon situation. So it's not boding well for him at all. Anything on the pitching side of things? Are you buying into Brandon Young?
No, I am not. Of course not. He's got like a 3.04 ERA, right?
Uh-huh. Crazy. He's smoking mirrors in it up. Yes, he is.
Brandon Young is one of the, so number five luckiest in terms of ERA versus Sierra, skills independent ERA. 3.07 ERA, 4.81 Sierra, fifth luckiest in all of baseball this season behind Eduardo Rodriguez, Walbert Urania, Nick Martinez, and Justin Robleski.
And you mentioned, did you have anything else? Because the Dean's coming back next week, potentially.
Oh, that's good. I like the Dean.
Yeah, it's at Great American next week, but then he gets the Royals after that, which is always something to look forward to.
And he would replace Trey Gibson, I assume.
Yes, it's a Trey Day is no moss.
Okay. I like Dean Kramer as a pickup then. Absolutely.
Yes, figured that would lighten your mood. And I was looking at the weekly planner for the starting pitching planner, and it's not like the highest on the list, but Dean's got a pretty nice upcoming schedule. If he returns, I got Great American and Kansas City ranks him out like 13th or 12th or 13th on this board. So not a bad thing. Usually it's lefty heavy on that one.
Yep.
All righty. Let's head to the Boston Red Sox. Six games next week, three at home versus Washington, three at the Angels, two lefties and four righties. For the Boston Red Sox, and Caleb Durbin went deep again on Thursday night, for anybody keeping track at home.
He did. He's on fire, and I don't know where this came from, but it's awfully nice. Caleb Durbin is still 42% rostered in 12s, I assume, in 15-teamers. Caleb Durbin is long gone. So I guess if you're in a 12-teamer, check to see Caleb Durbin. You just never know. I mean, Caleb Durbin's still young. Don't think he's this good, but playing time has been there. He's got the longest leash of pretty much anyone on the team, so that's good. Anthony Siegler is now playing second base, but I don't think he's that great. I assume you and Curlin talked about him, but yep. Not that interested despite the playing time.
No, it's a massive depth piece. If you need a middle infielder for the week, he's going to get at bats. Like, he's hitting 300 in a short sample. He hit 290 at AAA, but it was like three homers and four steals, so it's not a lot going on there. But it's a body in a 15 that you can use for some depth down a waterfall. If you need it, like if you lost Zach Gelof, who was playing second base or something, that's a name to at least keep on your radar. But again, like Ryan said, I wouldn't get overly excited for Siegler. Anything on the pitching side of things?
One thing I wanted to bring up, and not really on the rotation, but Aroldis Chapman, like likely getting traded, I would think. Probably not to the Yankees, but likely getting traded. And I think it's close to that time of year. I believe the trade deadline is the first couple of days of August. So there's still a little bit of a ways out for these stashes, but it could be time to start looking at potential trade candidates. And not, you know, I don't care where Aroldis Chapman goes for fantasy. Who's the fill-in behind Aroldis Chapman? And Garrett Whitlock has pitched really well. You know, it's given the lack of saves in free agency in recent weeks, like I feel we haven't had a good closer in a long time in Fab. And you're struggling for saves, you're desperate for saves. If you want to add Garrett Whitlock, stash him for a month and hope that Chapman gets traded and Whitlock does not. That could be a fruitful thing if you need saves.
Yep. Don't mind that. I know Ben was talking about that a couple weeks ago and we were wondering if it was too soon for that. So about time to get onto that. I will mention if you need a pitching streamer, we'll see how Jake Bennett does this weekend against the Yanks, but he pitched great in Coors Field. And next week he's lined up in Anaheim, which would be a plus. So he's 5% in 12s and he's pretty regularly rostered in 15s, but he'll be out there. I got him in a ton of 15s a couple weeks ago. So he's a guy I think you can look at to stream as well, Jake Bennett.
Yep.
All right, the New York Yankees, 6 games at home this week, 3 against Detroit, 3 against Minnesota, 2 lefties and 4 righties for the New York Yankees. And Spencer Jones is clearly in a platoon. Just keep that one in mind. That is a deadpan situation, but 4 lefties might make him a deeper league play if you're feeling frisky. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot else, Ryan.
That's the only thing I had was it's time for your guy to show up here, Spencer Jones. The Yankees have played 3 of the last 4 games against lefties. It's been a very lefty heavy opposing pitching slate for the Yankees lately. So Spencer Jones has not played, to your point, but Spencer Jones is going to get some run. I don't know. In Fab, you don't really have time to wait and see. So you probably scoop Spencer Jones and see how he does this week, but we'll finally get a chance to kind of see what Spencer Jones can do. Outside of that, the Paul Goldschmidt triumph continues, but that was a fab pick.
It continues versus lefties versus righties. It's abysmal right now.
Yeah, like I that's a good point. Do you start Goldschmidt next week?
I have so many first base options. I would not know.
Yeah. That's a really good point. And if you look at
Eldridge's first base now, by the way, just throw that out there.
Yeah, he is. But yeah, that is a really good point. Paul Goldschmidt is one of the best hitters in baseball against lefties. Double dong off of Scooble yesterday, I believe. But he's a below average hitter against right-handed pitching, and that could be an issue going forward.
And 15's widely gone, but in 12's, Anthony Volpe's only 42%, hitting over 300 each of the last 2 weeks, couple steals. Not doing a whole lot else at this point in time besides playing every day, which is what you need. So if you want to try to run that and see where it goes, Volpe's another middle infield option that, while hitting well, will steal a ton of bags. So someone to keep in mind is also. I have nothing on the pitching side of things unless you do.
It has been stable from the rotation through to the bullpen, so I have nothing there either.
Tampa Bay Rays, 6 games coming up here all on the road, 3 at Kansas City, 3 at Houston, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Tampa Bay Rays. That means your soft spot might be in play again if you're feeling that. But
my soft spot's always in play.
There you go. What do you got for the Tampa Bay Rays?
Just trying to get a reaction out of you. We'll keep digging. With all the righties, I will go with the soft spot, Cedric Mullins. I think Johnny DeLuca is the one to talk about, though he is right-handed.
100%. Yes.
Did not start against a righty tonight. Again, I'm sure you and Curlin talked about this when I had to jet after the first few minutes of your show today. But what's your take on DeLuca? You've been a DeLuca guy. Do you think the playing time is there at least somewhat regularly against both-handed pitching? And if so, would you add DeLuca?
I would add him. I think he's going to play like 75 to 80% of the time. Like if you look at it, he played lefty, 2 righties and a lefty before sitting on Thursday. They said they want to kind of give him regular rest because he's coming back from those injuries. So if it means 4 games in a row and a day off, he's going to play 5 or 6 games a week, most likely, or even at least 4 a week, depends on how the schedule breaks down. So I'll take my chances there. It's a good week for the Rays. Great matchups against a rough Kansas City rotation, and then not the best of Houston outside of Hunter Brown. So, like, Christian Javier is returning. We know how that goes. I think Johnny DeLuca is firmly in play in this one. Just, no, he's not going to play 100%, but that's the world we live in now. Not a lot of guys play 100% of the time anymore. We've got to get that mindset out of
your brain. Yeah, I mean, you've been saying that for the last few weeks now. It's a really good point. It's like everyone freaks out when someone gets benched and
just days
unless
off.
Unless you're a stud, you don't play every single day anymore.
Yeah, so Johnny DeLuca is a big target of mine. Like, it's one of those, if he goes full Estuary Ruiz and gets on the back of a milk carton again, we'll see. But I don't know how the Rays, like, Victor Mesa Jr. shouldn't be playing over him. Like, they don't have a lot of options, to put it nicely.
Yeah. Yep.
The other guy, Curlin mentioned him, and I tried to shut him down as quick as possible.
Taylor Walls.
Yeah, just because he's playing every day. Like, I'd rather have Anthony Volpe and take my chances there. But Taylor Walls is playing a ton. He's stolen six bases in the last 3 weeks. Like, he's going to run and run often, but he's not going to do a whole lot else for it. He's like a poor man's Chandler Simpson right now.
Yeah, so we can move on.
Anything on the pitching side of things, as Griffin Jack's almost made it five innings finally? Yeah, are you buying into Ian Seymour?
That's who I was going to bring up. Virginia Tech legend, Ian Seymour, of course.
Legend.
17%. Anyone who plays at Virginia Tech and actually makes the majors, there's not many of them. They're a legend in my mind, which doesn't mean much. But VT legend Ian Seymour, 6 2/3 today. You want to talk about being stretched out? I don't have the pitch count in front of me, but
it was after a piggyback, so that's good.
After a piggyback, 7 Ks, 1 walk, 0 hits, and 0 runs for Ian Seymour. So you like that. I think Ian Seymour, you know, if you can go 5+, if you go 6+, you are absolutely an ad. So the problem is he's going to cost some money, right, coming off that outing. But Ian Seymour's next start is at the Royals, and the Royals are beat to hell right now, and potentially a two-step the following week for Ian Seymour. So, yes, Ian Seymour I am in on this week.
Yeah, I think that's a definite go-get-em situation there. All right, let's go to the Toronto Blue Jays. 6 games coming up, 3 at home versus the Mets, 3 at the Seattle Mariners. 1 lefty and 5 righties. Did you see Ernie Clement might be a starter in the All-Star game? That's absolutely outstanding to see. But what do you got for the Jays?
I guess he's the vote leader, which causes all kinds of uproar on social media. I could not care less about the All-Star vote.
The only thing that I'm laughing, I didn't even see the American League side of it, but I saw a picture of the National League. It's 3 teams make up all the voting. It's the Dodgers, the Mets, and Phillies, I think, or maybe the Braves. There's 4 teams. It's hilarious.
It's probably all Blue Jays on the AL.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
Whatever. But, I don't care.
I haven't watched an All-Star game in years, so I don't know what to tell you.
I'll watch it. I just don't get all upset about, like, voting counts. And then, you know, half the team doesn't play, so then you get alternates and just whatever.
Yeah, it all works out in the end, as usual. It's not quite Pro Bowl-esque, but yes. What do you got here? Because your boy Jesus Sanchez isn't playing every day right now.
Yeah, and he's not really playing well at all. So I can't proclaim this a Jesus Sanchez week. And there's not really much. I mean, Dalton Varsho came back last week. Shane Bieber, if we're talking rotation, came back last week. Got torched his first start back. So
not that surprising.
I don't have anything, at least on the bats for the Jays.
No Nathan Lucas love as he plays every day.
Not really. I mean, he plays every day and he hits second most days, at least against righties, but, like, he's not good.
He's not, but he's got a couple home. He's basically getting a home run a week right now, but nothing crazy.
He is hitting .301. Lucas is hitting .301, but 3 homers, no steals, and 156 plate appearances.
You guys know what to do right now. You guys know what to do.
Oh, Ryan just 100%. Did. 100%. He's going to Nick Lofton all of us and hit 4 bombs this week. That is 100% going to happen, but I am not veering from my process. I am going to look at skills. This guy does not have skills, and thus I will not be adding Nathan Lucas. The guy's one barrel, dude. He's terrible.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, but I'm having fun as long as I can.
But you know what's going to happen.
Uh-huh. I'm ready for it. Anything else with the Jays, though?
No. I don't think so. Anything on the pitchers?
I got nothing. Nothing on the pitchers. They're... If you trust Beavers, go for it. But that's about it. Yep. Chicago White Sox, 7 games on the road this week, 3 at Baltimore, 4 at the Guardians, 2 lefties and 5 righties for the Chicago White Sox.
You know, I'm going to go Benintendi, and I will stick by that one.
Naturally.
Five righty weeks, so you like that. Kyle Teal is back. You should probably already have him in your lineups. Played Monday, Wednesday, will be the primary catcher there. Savannah Banana, Tristan Peters. I don't know. If you're desperate for an outfielder, Tristan Peters is going to play. He's okay. He's a body. So I don't have anything outside of that, I don't think.
That's the basics. The key cogs are rostered. Murakami's still a couple weeks away, so everything will keep playing as usual, it would seem. Braden Montgomery hit a home run finally, but he's not that great at the moment, so just keep an eye on that. The one I'm very interested to see how it keeps playing out over the weekend is Luis Angel Acuña. I know you had him in your recent Fab article. Got a couple starts at shortstop versus a righty. That was when Colson Montgomery was playing third, though, and some guys are banged up. So I would love to see Acuña get some more runs. He's actually swinging the crap out of the bat right now.
Yeah.
So that's a guy, if he even plays 2 out of 3 this weekend with some righties on tap, I think that's worth just doing a 7-game week, maybe get 4 or 5 games out of him with that speed, maybe some pop. The first set of the week against Baltimore is really strong, and then you get a couple of tough matchups against Cleveland. So Acuña's the guy I'd keep my eye on. If he can even stash, I might do that because he seems like a guy that's real close to getting some regular run because Jacob Gonzalez ain't it, but like they got to move some pieces around still.
No, I support the Acuña take. He's only hitting 211. But better than average strikeout rate. He's fast as hell. He hits the ball on the ground a ton. And he's got a 250 BABIP. Like, that just does not add up. So I think Luis Angel Acuña, and again, he's still only 24. Like,
yep.
Has some pop, has 5 barrels, 4.5% barrel rate. So there's enough here with Acuña, to your point, as to if that playing time starts to become more frequent, I can get behind that for sure.
Anything on the pitching side of things? Looks like Noah Schultz should be back shortly.
That's a sentence. I'll restate Anthony Kay. We talked about him last week as a really good two-step. Pitched really well the first half of the two-step. I think gets the Royals this coming weekend for the second half of that, but then goes and faces Cleveland again next week, next Friday, July 3rd. So Anthony Kay, you want to keep him, maybe was a streamer for a two-step this current week, if you listened to us last week, but hold him for another week, and then, hell, you never know. Like, these guys, you just get them as streamers, and they kind of take off. So Anthony Kay is another one you want to hold and or pick up for next week.
Yep, bench streaming material right about now. Cleveland Guardians have 7 games this week, all at home. Oh. 3 versus Texas. What's up? Did you want to talk about the bullpen?
What's your take on the bullpen?
Stay far away.
Okay. You don't think, like, it's tricky. I wish they would just go with Grant Taylor and roll with it. For Anthony Dominguez has been awful.
Dominguez has been god awful. Taylor, they won't go to. If they went to him, yes, that'd be great. The other problem with Taylor, though, is like he's 90% in 12s. He's rostered everywhere.
Yeah. Fair.
You're pretty much just hosed. Like, that's who they should go to. Anybody else there, I definitely want nothing to do with. So I'm just a void on the whole White Sox.
And drop Sir Anthony if you have Sir Anthony. Is that your?
I'm not opposed to it if you need roster space.
Yeah.
What say you?
The interest, like, drops Sir Anthony for potentially a Garrett Whitlock stash. Like, that's a
move.
Yes. That might be a move to consider. I don't know. I have to think about that.
Like, I'd rather stash Ryan Walker right now.
Whoa.
I mentioned a couple weeks. Like, he pitched a clean 7th tonight when the rest of the bullpen just destroyed
better than,
the team.
Yeah, your boy, Killian.
Oh, good God.
That was during the Curlin show, wasn't it?
I was watching it live, baby. Watching it live.
I wish it was tweeting. Happening was while we were.
Yeah, no, you would have really enjoyed that. I know. All right, Cleveland Guardians, 7 games at home, 3 versus Texas, 4 versus the White Sox, 2 lefties and 5 righties for the Guardians. So, again, if you want to go Manzardo versus lefties, you can. Schneeman's the strong platoon. I want to ask you about Khalil Watson. Are you interested in Khalil Watson?
Real deal Khalil. I don't know if he's the real deal. I would say would say low end outfield ad. Yeah, like a few bucks low in the waterfall if you need them. But this is if you need it. I mean, this is the week for Khalil Watson to show what he can do because it is the 5-righty week. So, yeah, I don't know. A couple bucks. I'm not super excited.
Yeah, I wouldn't get overly excited about it either. But it's one of the weekly traditions. Outfielders are available. Throw them in the waterfall. See what you can do. Because like you said, perfect storm for him. Anything else, though, with Cleveland? Because I don't have much period with them.
They did call up Cooper Engel. Oh, that's coming up on Friday.
Correct, yes.
AAA, he's a catcher, but has been playing the outfield lately. So I don't know what position he'll be eligible in, depending on what format you're at. But Cooper Engel is a catcher. He's been brought up as a catcher. He's 24 years old, hitting the ball really well at AAA this season. 284 batting average, 12 homers. You know, I don't think it's like crazy upside, but if Cooper Engel is catcher eligible on your platform and it's a two catcher league, that's someone you could add and see what you have there if you're struggling at second catcher.
And if he's not catcher eligible, make sure he qualifies there for the format you're playing before you go and add him.
You gotta try. You gotta try and add him, man.
See what happens. All right. Anything else with Cleveland?
Your backup bid can be Fiducia.
Fuck. Diet Mountain Dew after that.
The only other, I mean, we've mentioned Cleveland as a stream against team just with all their injuries. It's a little tough in terms of stream against because it's DeGrom, Gore, Evaldi, Davis Martin, our guy, Anthony Kay, Sean Burke, and then Eric Fetty. So maybe like Burke, Fetty.
Fetty could be interesting. He could be interesting.
Yeah, Cleveland is just down bad right now. They're bad against lefties. It's a team to stream against if you're looking for starting pitchers.
Yeah, and just to highlight Fetty a little more, the only problem is it's usually a piggyback, but it's like 4 innings, 4 2/3, 2 2/3. He hasn't gone 5 since June 9th, but still it's 2 earned runs or less every outing since May 29th. Like 4 more Ks and 3 out of 4. So it's not elite stuff, but he might sneak in a win because of the piggyback like Ryan's talking about. So not the worst place to be. All right, Detroit Tigers, 6 games on the road, 3 at the Yankees, 3 at Texas, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the Detroit Tigers.
I don't think I have anything on the hitter side.
Unless you do. I'm not doing James Outman. That is just not happening. So, yeah, I got nothing. They called up Ben Mulgary, but he's sat for a sorority. I think that's a platoon situation. So, yeah, I got nothing. Nothing there. What do you got on the pitching side?
Not much there either, though. I mean, I'll just point out Captain Jack is back in our lives, I think.
Yep. He's coming back this weekend. He's pitching Sunday.
Sunday. And so, yeah, like if you're in an IL league, of course, he's probably stashed. If you're not,
26% in 12s. Wow.
It's a very low ownership in 12 teamers on the NFBC, 12% for Jack Flaherty, who is, you know, we can all laugh at Jack Flaherty and maybe he'll turn to crap again, but he was pitching very well before the IL stint. So you may want to see if Jack Flaherty's around. Obviously, you'll get the look on Sunday to see how Jack Flaherty looks coming off the IL.
And he's turning into a grumpy old man with the comments he had about the double-A players, which made me laugh quite a bit. So, yeah.
I missed that.
He says basically along the lines of the youth, the youngsters at double-A need to brush up on their baseball knowledge because none of them – they were asked what's the record for strikeouts in a game. None of them could answer that question. And he reeled it off as 20 and he named off all the people. And it was just, it was funny. He was a little grumpy about it. Maybe sarcastic, but it was just funny that stood out to him at his trip to double A Altoona on that one.
Yeah. So. Burn it to the ground when you're in Altoona, I guess.
I respect it.
No offense to the fine folks of Altoona. I've been to Altoona.
Driving through, flat tire. What was it?
Mostly driving through.
Yeah.
Cool spot though.
All right, Kansas City Royals, they have 5 games this week, as we mentioned, as Ryan mentioned earlier. 3 at home versus Tampa, 2 at home versus Philly. Again, the wraparound, as Ryan mentioned earlier. It's only 2 over the weekend, so you can play your Royals early in the week if you want to. The weekend might be a bit tricky for you, and it comes down to 2 lefties and 3 righties. So, I don't know. What do you got here for the Royals? Are you picking up Nick Lofton by chance?
No. I'm not. In a 15 team, I could see it if you need a corner infield, Nick Lofton. He's going to play every day with Mikel Garcia out. He has been, of course, on fire since I bagged him last week.
Really good.
Really damn good. But no, that's about it. I would look at Lofton in a 15 teamer.
Yeah, and we're still waiting for Cameron Meisner to play, so that's not working.
I was going to say Meisner too, but like you can't do it this week.
Yeah, the fact he's not playing, it's weird. That's the Royals in a nutshell. Anything on the pitching side?
I don't think so.
Alex Lang is good. I kind of want Estevez to stay far, far away on that situation.
Yeah.
Minnesota Twins, they have 6 games on the road, 3 at Houston, 3 at the Yankees, 2 lefties and 4 righties for the Minnesota Twins. I feel like your boy, Mr. Clemens, is quieted down a little bit.
You not only feel like it has actually happened. So I don't know. I still think you get the 3. Well, you can start in the first half of the week against Lambert, Burrows, and Emi. Emi's pitched better lately, but
it's really good lately.
You could do that. I don't know about the weekend. It's one righty, and that one righty is Garrett Cole. So that's tough for Cody Clemens. Does Ryan Kriedler at shortstop do anything for you?
No, we briefly mentioned him with Curley, and like, yeah, he's getting all the playing time at short, but it's not doing it for me at all. So I don't like anything with the Twins unless you're just doing the first half of the week with like a Larnick or a Clemens. Basically, that's all it would matter to me.
Yeah, ditto pitching side.
Yeah, just really your boy, your Andrés Gómez is a little entertaining still, but that's about it. Wiley roster.
didn't get the save last Sunday. I don't know why, but Banda got the save. Banda's the lefty, to Gomez's righty, so it could have been that. Gomez has been good and has been getting the primary. And we can't be too greedy in Fab this year with saves.
Yes.
There are no like primary closers in Fab. If you can get someone, we've talked about this, but if you can get someone who gets like 60%, that's good enough. And if you're looking to pick up saves off the wire.
Agreed. The Sacramento Athletics, home for 6 this week in Sacramento, 3 against the Doyers and 3 against the Marlins, 2 lefties and 4 righties, but it's 2 lefties and a righty when they face the Dodgers, and then it's if one of them's Ohtani in Sacramento, that'll be good. And then the weekend versus the Marlins is 3 righties on tap, so very interesting schedule with the A's. The Cio Cortez, it's now or never, Ryan, and I think it might be never on that one. Anything else with the A's? Because you got Geloff on the IL with his hand injury, so he'll be out all of next week. Jacob Wilson, shoulder injury, didn't play Thursday. They said it's the re-injury of the previous shoulder injury, so I wouldn't be shocked if we see an IL stint there. Your boy Alika Williams got called up. Thoughts on the A's?
Your guy Muncy's starting to play regularly, yeah, Max Muncy. And he's hitting, and he's home all week. And in 12 teamers, Max Muncy is 13% owned. So you could go with some Max Muncy. I'm with you on the Sea of Cortez. Drought conditions it's extreme drought conditions in the Sea of Cortez. Things are drying up. I think you can probably drop Carlos Cortez. I mean, hasn't started the last 5 games. So unless he's hurt or something, I don't know what we're doing here.
It's bad. Brent Rooker update, still no baseball activity. So. That means the Law Dog should be fine for a while. And Joey Meneses got called up. Does that do anything for you?
That's right. He's hitting I looked him up earlier today. He's hitting like 349 in AAA, which complete bandbox. Complete bandbox. But
well, that's where the home teams play too.
I know. Honestly, I don't even know where Meneses qualifies. I think he's just DH.
Probably you too. Yeah, I'd imagine it's you too.
It's not the craziest thing in the world next weekend.
Qualifies at first base.
Okay. It's not the craziest thing in the world next weekend, but it's still Joey Meneses. And why I say next weekend is because it's 3 games at home against righties. Tyler Phillips, Sandy, and Jansen Junk. Like that's pretty good. But still, I don't know, man. It's Joey Meneses.
Yep, he gets Lauer and Obleski to start the week, 2 lefties. He used to mash lefties, so that's another one too. Yeah. We'll see with Meneses. Just something to keep an eye on. I don't think I'll be that aggressive on him, but he is in play this next week.
Yeah.
Any crazy pitching for you? I don't have a whole lot to add when they're in Sacramento, but I will say if JT Jin's out there, I wrote about him for matchups, and his home road splits are insane, which we'd expect, but a sub-2 ERA on the road. So that's a guy you could leave and stream on your bench if he's still out there for you.
Yep. Shout out Gage Jump, just on fire lately. I know that was one of your big fab pickups, so I know
you're so sweet.
You're happy there. And then what's Jack Perkins been up? I guess it doesn't really matter. He's been picked up. But 14 Ks the last two starts for
Jack Perkins is 17% in 12s ran.
Okay.
That should change. He needs to be rostered.
Still don't know how much I like him at home, but 14 Ks, four walks in Jack Perkins' last two starts combined has gone five innings in both of those starts as well. So Jack Perkins is getting stretched out, pitching better. Does he get LA?
Miami.
Or does he get Miami?
Miami.
Okay. I could see going Perkins, Miami, not LA at home.
He gets Perkins then at Detroit before the All-Star break.
Okay.
So not horrible. Like I definitely serviceable option there. And the bullpen sucks. Alvarado, Elvis has left the building.
Yeah. Elvis was good in Vegas, but yeah, Hollywood Hogan's bad. Vegas version of Elvis was fine. Non-Vegas Elvis, not great.
Mason Barnett got the save today. He got a save in Vegas, too. He's a guy to probably keep an eye on, honestly. He might get the next look. So
sure.
If you guys want to speculate for a buck or two, Mason Barnett would be a dude. Not kidding.
Yeah, so. Okay.
Let's go to Houston. Six games at home, three versus Minnesota, three versus Tampa Bay, two lefties and four righties for the Houston Astros, Ryan.
Nothing for hitters.
Yeah, I got nothing either. The guys that are platooning really aren't that good. So no. I got nothing as well. Just real quick. Nope, I'm good there. Let's come off the IL. So what do you got on the pitching side then?
I don't think I have. Mike Burrows has reinserted himself into the rotation if you want to be a sucker for pain.
Nope. I'm good. I can punch myself in the balls. We're good.
Yeah, exactly. Which I'd probably rather do than continue to start Mike Burrows. So
yeah, we're good.
Yeah. So no, Josh Hader is back and rolling. That stash looks to be paying off.
Yeah, he might lead. He might be a top five closer by the end of the season, if you even with the stash.
He's racking up saves. Honestly, dude, the Astros are playing a lot better right now. Like they're only a game and a half. God, the AOS is so bad, but they're only a
the
game
AL
and a
half is out. Bad.
Yeah, the whole AL. I think Tid put something in the Discord about that. Yeah,
it's bad. So, alrighty, let's go to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Six games, three at Seattle, three at home versus Boston. Two lefties and four righties, one of the hardest opponents week of the season for the Angels.
Yeah, they get that, you know, that Seattle threesome, and then your boy Bennett, Sonny Gray, and Ranger Suarez for the Boston side of that. So it's a pretty brutal schedule for Angels bats. I like Denzer Guzman. Continues to be the pretty much everyday third baseman. Jorge Soler is back off the IL. Think homered once or twice already this week. So those are two names to look at.
I'd say the thing with Soler back, it's basically made Vaughn Grissom non-existent. So
good point. Yeah.
Keep that in mind. He's disappeared. Oswald Peraza is basically a utility player now. He gives he's played second and shortstop of late because he gives Neto a day off, or he plays second when a lefty's on the mound because Dominic Walton somehow is playing second base every day. Dude, I'm not recommending Dominic Walton, even though he has a couple of home runs, just not doing it. Christian Moore is the guy to still keep an eye on. He's playing nearly every day. I think the talent is super, super good, but he hasn't put it together at big league level, so don't go crazy with spending, but I still think he's very, very good. I don't know if it's – one of these days we'll see it with Christian Moore. Not sure if it's now, but just somebody, if you can stash or whatever, there's probably better plays this week, but Christian Moore is something to keep in mind.
Okay.
Pitching side, Ryan Johnson has now put together two pretty good starts, and it's weird because I watched he ended up giving five runs at Sacramento, but it was like all in the first inning. I watched that start and I was like, this guy's horrible. And then it just but it was not as bad as it looks, is what I'm saying. And then he faced Baltimore, six shutout, eight Ks. I don't know. In 15s, we're thirsty for anybody with a pulse. Dude had a 2.5 ERA at AAA this year. That's pretty good in the PCL. So
with a 30%, 30% strikeout minus walk in the PCL for Ryan Johns. Like that's really, it's only 28 innings, people. And that's kind of the issue with Ryan Walton, Ryan Johnson. It's not a volume play, but you're just looking for somebody with skills for a few starts. And I think Ryan Johnson at least has a shot to do that, given how he pitched his most recent start and the numbers at AAA.
Gets Seattle too, which is nice.
Yeah, like that works. That works. Just missed a ton of bats at AAA. Great control. So yeah, I will look at Ryan Johnson. It's that kind of so far like a sneaky, decent starting pitcher week in Feb.
So far, but what I will mention is Grayson Rodriguez might be coming back soon. That would take Johnson's spot, as stupid as that sounds. If G-Rod doesn't come back this week, Johnson could have a two-step with Seattle and Boston. But we'll have to just kind of keep an eye on how that all plays out with Johnson. But he at least should get the Seattle start on Monday and go from there. And Seattle start alone.
If he pitches well there, we can remove Sam Aldegary from the rotation instead of Ryan Johnson.
Yeah, yes, I agree. But let me pull this up before I completely talk out of school. Yeah, it's been one bad inning for Aldegary. It's the second trip through. He's going to be a good piggyback guy, Aldegary, unless he figures out more. But yes, Johnson should stick. I'm with you there. They got to figure that out. Anything else with the Angels? The bullpen continues to be a circus, but Bachman appears to be the man they want, even though does it really matter? Probably not.
Yeah, Sam Bachman is aggressively pursuing Jordan Romano's crown as saves leader for the Angels this year.
Four whopping saves. Four whole saves. All right, the Seattle Mariners, they have six games this week, all at home, three versus the Angels, three versus Toronto, six righties on tap, and it's a pretty good schedule when you look at the opponents they'll be facing. So maybe it's a week for the Mariners to wake the F up, Ryan.
That would be nice. They are finally back at full health. They have their pretty much full lineup now with Randy Rosarena coming back. Raleigh was back a few days ago. It's with six bad righties, it's good for Luke Raley and Dominic Canzone, assuming Dominic Canzone is healthy. Battling a hamstring issue. Played Wednesday, did not play Thursday against a righty, probably just to rest the hammy. So just keep an eye on that, but over the weekend. But yeah, Canzone and Raley, bombs away with those two guys.
Are you still in on Cole Young right now? Because he's only 46% in 12s. I know he hit a home run in Pittsburgh, but prior to that, kind of scuffling.
Had a shot today with the bases loaded that was diving catch by, I think, Mangum style. I think your boy.
So you got Mangum style out there.
Cole Young is, he's fine. I think he's serviceable in 15s. I think the playing time is totally safe. I don't know where Brendan Donovan is.
Neither does he.
Protection somewhere. I don't think. No. But they've moved JP Crawford over to third base, which I don't think you do that unless you think it's somewhat.
The latest Brendan Donovan update was a week ago, it feels like, and it was still that he was multiple weeks away from starting a running progression.
Yeah. So Cole Young, I don't think is at risk of losing playing time. It's just a cold streak right now.
And if you look at Baseball HQ's playing time metrics, Cole Young has played every game this season.
Yeah, he plays every single day. Yep.
So that always stands out to me. Anything on the pitching side? Because it looks like the piggyback coming up here is, Logan Gilbert?
Gilbert. Yeah, Gilbert getting hit with the piggyback.
Gilbert in the terrible, cock, I believe.
Yeah, Hancock's piggybacked. So
that means Kirby and Wu next week. So they're the only two if they keep this pattern going.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what the pattern is because it seems to be mostly Bryce Miller, Luis Castillo, but I don't think they do either. I don't know. Just keep an eye on it. But yeah, but you're not benching Logan Gilbert because of the piggyback.
You're not, so, but it's just stupid. Just
whatever. I don't know, man.
All right. Anything else with Seattle?
No.
Depressing. Texas Rangers, three at Cleveland, three home versus Detroit for their six games this week. Three lefties and three righties. The Cleveland series is two lefties and one righty. The Detroit series is one lefty and two righties. Remember, they only play two games over the weekend because of World Cup action in Detroit, I believe. Or in Texas. Sorry, in Texas. So you get the righties, again, the Detroit series, like I said. But what are you doing here with Texas? Because Jock Jams is having a heck of a week and a righty heavy week. He's got three bombs, I think, this week.
It's been beautiful. I picked up Jock Jams a couple times, but this is not the week to go with Jock Peterson, which is the three righties. I guess the question is, do you drop Jock Peterson if you picked him up the stream?
I'm starting to think you hold the man for, like, as long as there's four righties in a week, I think he's almost in play the way he's swinging the bat right now. And if you look at Texas' schedule the following week, it looks to be six righties coming up. So
there you go.
You're gonna want Jock to stick around.
Good call out, Bubba. That's why we keep you around for that, you know, that one further week ahead schedule analysis. Good stuff.
That's what I do. I can add. I can't build you shit on a computer, but I'll figure the rest out.
So you got Corey Seager back from the IL. You can play him until he gets hurt again.
So Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Mickey. Well, I mean. I'm not gonna beat the dead horse. Nicky Lopez.
Curlin beat it earlier. Trust me, I had to fight him on it.
Did he?
Yes. He mentioned Nicky Lopez because he does play every stinking day. And
it's unbelievable.
It's crazy. I can't fathom what is going on right now. So yes. Anything on the pitching side? Jacob Latz has been freaking amazing, which has been great. He's got 15 saves now. Cal Quantrill might stick around for now, but they keep moving pieces. They keep calling up guys from – they called up Winston Santos from Double A, not Triple A, Double A. It's just like every pitcher they call up, walk issues, but elite strikeout stuff.
Yeah, and this is all in the wake of the Jack Leiter IL stint. I'm not interested in whatever they decide to go with the fifth starter.
Leiter had ankle surgery. For those not aware, he's going to be out for at least a month with that surgery.
Yeah.
All right, to the National League we go. The Atlanta Braves, six games at home, three versus St. Louis, three versus the Mets, two lefties and four righties for the Atlanta Braves. And I'm just going to throw this out there. And he's probably wide. Yeah, he's 91% roster. But my goodness, Mauricio Dubon. You are between him and early Ernie Clement in the same season. This is ridiculous. But yeah. What do you got on the Braves?
Not much. The shout out for Dubon is well deserved. Power uptick this year, ton of contact, leading off, great lineup. So all the things.
Must be using Profar's locker.
I'm not here to make allegations, but Mauricio Dubon is playing quite well.
Yes.
I don't know, man. Are we off the Dominator and Yastrzemski?
I'm not there. I haven't been in on them, so we're good.
All right, fair. I got nothing else then.
Yeah, pitching side, they're going to bring Ronaldo Lopez into the rotation on Friday night, maybe with a piggyback situation. I guess something to keep an eye on. If he pitches half decent, maybe they stretch him out. Hurston Waldrop has one more rehab start before he likely returns. Bryce Elder's been garbage. Ronaldo Lopez probably isn't the answer. Grant Holmes, they want to put in the bullpen, but they have no healthy arms. So Waldrop back soon. And then also A.J. Smith-Shawver's throwing a two-inning simulated game. He's ramping up to hopefully come back late July, early August. So they have some reinforcements maybe coming is what I would say. The soonest would be Hurston Waldrop.
But it's pretty dire outside of Waldrop. Bubba, you may – that's your guy. You may finally get some value out of that meatball pick. 11th round. 11th
round pick. Yeah, baby.
That was a good one. That was a good one. No. Honestly, Waldrop is – you know, if you can add him now, a week or so ahead of time, this is the week to do so cheaply.
Yeah, this is the week to do it. Problem is, he's been out all year, so depends on your format if he's available. Right. He's 4% rostered in OC, so check. Like, he's available in this OC I'm looking at right now. So that is interesting. Problem is, I need him in 15s. That's where
he's drafted though. Someone drafted him.
Yeah, if he's available in that OC, he did. So yeah, some people took the plunge. Is what it looks like. All right, I got nothing else with Atlanta unless you do.
No.
All right, similar to the Pirates 2 weeks ago, the Marlins have the schedule of the gods this week. They have a seven-game series, four in Colorado, three in Sacramento. It's three lefties and four righties. That makes things a little difficult, I guess, on this one. But my goodness, a lot of guys were smart enough to start stashing your Marlins last week. Like, I've been doing – getting Herberto Hernandez for a while. This is a great week to do this, but you got Conine, you got Cassie, Connor Norby's back in AAA, Graham Pauly's getting called up. A lot of options here, Ryan. So what stands out to you with the Marlins?
This is actually probably the hottest team in terms of Fab bats for the week. I made Roberto Hernandez the cover boy of the YouTube clip art. That is him. He's got like a parrot attached to his head. I was about to ask
you that. Well, I meant to ask you who that was. I'm like, who the heck is that?
Yeah, that is apparently. I actually don't even know if it's him, but I Googled him and that image came up. So we're rolling with
celebration hat. I'm guessing.
You know, the graphics department decided to green light that one. So we're going to go with that as Roberto Hernandez, who I have liked him for a long time. The playing time has not been there. It seems to now be there for Roberto Hernandez. So this is a great week to add him. He's hitting kind of all over the place, but generally 3-4 leadoff against the lefties. So I don't think the split week even hurts Roberto Hernandez. It might actually even help him. So that's my number one pickup of this team. But I also like Owen Casey. I think you grabbed him last week in Fab, right? A couple spots.
Yep, I got a lot of Hernandez the last couple of weeks. Got Casey last week. I missed it. I didn't really pay attention to Conine, but I'm wondering if I should have, is the question.
He snuck up on me today, Conine. I don't know. Like, Conine has shown decent skills before. I don't know if this is the week to roll with him with this four righties, but I think you got to pick him up and just see what happens and then, you know, maybe start him depending on your other options. But yeah, well, Griffin Conine and 15s I'm looking at.
He started versus the most recent lefty that they had. He's played 3 out of 4 since coming off the IL.
Yeah.
Like it's a 7-game week. If you give me at least 4 games, hopefully 5, especially with that schedule, we're in business. And like Kirtland was all about him talking about it, and small sample this year, but 19% barrel, 52% hard hit. But like last year, 15% barrel, 48%.
Yeah.
He just hits the snot out of the baseball. So it's kind of a, as he said, and it makes a ton of sense. And you as an HQ guy should fully be on board with this. It's a skills versus roles thing. His skills are great. Now, can the role and consistency come into play? Great ballpark to test the theory, Colorado and Sacramento. So if he plays at least 4 or 5 games in those conditions, that should give him a good shot.
I will one up that. I will call your skills needing roles and raise you Esteri Ruiz, man. I'm not saying he's a pickup because he doesn't play enough, but like I think this dude could be like a monster. I think he's really good for fantasy. Like very, very good. But he'd never played with the A's. He does not play with the Marlins. I don't know why, but he does not. It's just frustrating.
Well, and the worst part is every time it looks like he's going to play with the Marlins, people pick him up and then he doesn't play with the Marlins. Like,
well, he played Saturday and Sunday and then started Monday and then hasn't played again.
For one inning. I guess the coach didn't know that what a piggyback situation is, how this works. I guess they couldn't figure that one out. Like, my God, that's unreal. But yeah,
unbelievable. So
I agree. The skills are great, are good, I should say, very good. I remember writing them up for a PT tomorrow or something last year, at least a DC column about like this guy, because he was like potentially the fourth outfielder for the Dodgers at one point. And I'm like, this is the guy. If it just takes one injury and he could be a beast. Obviously never happened, unfortunately.
Never happened. It doesn't look like it will. Remember, 67 steals in the majors 3 years ago.
And he's got pop. He's got pop, dude. Like,
I know.
Sneaky pop. It's like people are going to hate this comp, and I'm not saying he's like a mini Ricky Henderson in that profile.
Esteri Ruiz. I'm on board with that, man.
So they just need to get him to a team that doesn't care, and you like send him to Colorado. Well, they like way too many outfielders. Never mind. They need to send him to some team like to just could play him and not care about things. That'd be awesome. You thought Miami would be the place? Apparently not.
Right.
All right. On the pitching side of things, I don't really want any pitchers this week. Obviously, Eury Pérez came back, widely rostered. Don't have to worry about that. I will throw it out there. I'm not. Again, Max Meyer comes back Friday off the bereavement list. He's going to be fine. Tyler Phillips pitches at Sacramento next week, but then it's home versus Seattle the following weekend. Again, this is just strictly a streaming situation. You could probably get him for $1 this week if you can stash him. Otherwise, you can pay like $6 maybe next week or less. But he's at least going 5 innings now. He looks like, again, in the right matchups, Tyler Phillips can become a streamer.
I still don't think so, but you could be right.
And on that note, pick him up everywhere, folks. anything else with the Miami Marlins?
No, not after that.
All right, New York Mets. They have 6 games on the road this week, 3 at Toronto, 3 at Atlanta, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the New York Mets. You got Juan Soto back from a couple days off on Thursday. They got Francisco Lindor back on Wednesday. I already put my weekend lineups in, and Lindor is in, baby, which came in handy because Gilloff's on the IL now. So that's the 2 big moves, but this team is starting to get healthy. The other thing I'll mention, and I'll give you the floor, Marcus Semien to the IL with a hip injury. It won't just be the 10 days unless it's a real fluky situation. He'll probably be out 2 to 3 weeks at least. Brett Beatty got to start at second base versus a lefty on Thursday. I've never been a Brett Beatty guy, but better path to playing time was where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I think Brett Beatty is going to be the everyday second baseman for the Mets, but I don't know. You never know when it's going to click. Beatty's getting up there, 26. Like, he has had his chances. We've
been waiting for when will it click for a long time. It's the problem.
Yeah, which doesn't mean it won't. But
I agree.
I don't know. You could throw a buck or two there for the playing time for Brett Beatty, and on the off chance it finally does click, that could work out. But a ton of K's for Brett Beatty, only mild power, not really a running game. But the playing time, I think, will be there for Brett Beatty. I will also give a shout to Jared Young again in a 5 righty week. Pretty nice, pretty soft schedule for the Mets. I think Jared Young is streamable this week.
Yeah, I don't know. My hype train on him is kind of slowed down. And then even the last righty game, Vientos got the start. It's been primarily Jared Young. I'm not arguing you on that one, but They're mixing things up a lot. It's annoying, but just something to keep in mind. Pitching side of things, Christian Scott's coming back this week, and that gives the Mets 4 starters. They're calling up your boy, Thornton, to pitch on Friday.
Zach Thornton. So,
because they traded David Peterson, who we'll talk about shortly, to the Cubbies. So they're trying to fill out a rotation. Like I said, guys are coming back from the IL. Christian Scott, like I mentioned, Clay Holmes started throwing. They're gonna piece it together for the time being.
Thornton, man. All-time moment on the podcast where I said he got traded for Ike Davis like 15 years ago, and the guy's like 24.
When I started typing that up tonight for the news and notes, I started laughing. I was like, tonight's show is going to be great when I bring this up for the Mets. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, my God. So bad. UC Davis. He's an Aggie.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Go Aggies, baby. One of the few. Like, one of the what did you call your Virginia Tech legend? He's a UC Davis legend. Legend.
Yeah.
A lot of guys make it to the show from Davis. So, yes. Daniel Descalso was one of the first big ones.
Oh, good pull. Did not know that.
He was in college when I was in college, and we used to watch him all the time. You could tell he was better than most for Davis standards. And yeah, St. Louis Cardinals legend, UC Davis legend, Daniel Descalso.
Good pull. I like that.
So people, that's what they tuned in for, was that. Anything else with the Mets, though? Because pitching-wise, it's kind of a mess, and I don't think I need to get Thornton out there anywhere.
No, despite the legendary status for UC Davis, do not add Zach Thornton or even the older Zach Thornton as well.
Yeah, no Thorntons on your team. All right, the quickest team in all of baseball. The Philadelphia Phillies have 6 games this week, 4 at home versus Pittsburgh, 2 at the Royals. Again, 2 games over the weekend before the wraparound. It's 6 righties on tap, but it's a 4-game first half of the week, 2-game second half of the week for a team that plays the same team every day, Ryan.
Yep, nothing.
Yep.
On the hitter side.
I'm not streaming Rinconis, and I'm done with Justin Crawford. So that answers that question. One of the best, if not the best, offense in all of baseball, the Washington Nationals, 3 at Boston, 3 at home versus Pittsburgh, 3 lefties and 3 righties, and oh, what a week. First half of the week versus Boston, 3 lefties. Second half of the week versus Pittsburgh, 3 righties. One of them is Mr. Ashcraft himself. So what are you doing with Washington this week?
I mean, there's not much to do because they're all so good that they're all rostered. So, I mean, there's really nothing to add, in my opinion.
Not a whole lot to add as well. That's the crazy part. Like, I know this is like the second show year, because when I did that preview with Lauren Auerbach, we always talk about how good this team is, how fun they can be. Last year we saw it a little bit, but it kind of disappointed overall. This year they're awesome, absolutely awesome. And
up and down. I mean, Nassim Nunez is hitting like 500 this month.
Yeah, and he's 93. He's 93%. Like, Dylan Cruz isn't hitting at all. He's 100% still. Like, everyone wants a piece of the pie, which I agree with. Like, I mentioned Jacob Young a ton. He's 22%. He's like the only guy that's not rostered. if you need to get frisky with it. Even Kyber Ruiz is 92%, right? It's awesome. I like seeing it.
No, also yeah, who's been awesome, who I benched in a three lefty week, Luis Garcia Jr., and has hit three home runs in this half week. That's a killer.
He's got one start. He started Monday, surprisingly. So
yeah,
that is a surprise. Like I don't think I would start him in a three like the first half next week, but it'll probably happen again. So buyer beware to your point that you're making. Pitching side of things, I'm going to keep mentioning Andrew Alvarez. And the only reason I'm going to mention this is I wrote him up because he's starting on, they need to just put up an opener in front of him to give him chances for wins or just let him pitch for Christ's sake. But what was very impressive since, to me at least, since Andrew Alvarez joined the rotation on June 30th, he's made four starts. It's been four innings or more. He went 4 2/3 once, but it's been two earned runs or less every start. It's 20 Ks to seven walks and 16 2/3 innings. Like he's been very, very good. Maybe they don't want the third time through the rotation. I have no idea what the problem is, but like the win probability is not looking great, but ratios, strikeouts, and maybe he sneaks into one would be awesome. They got Jake Irvin coming back to take his spot in the rotation. That's just stupid if that's the case. But I like Andrew Alvarez a lot. And if Irvin doesn't come back, Alvarez gets at Boston next week, which maybe not the best matchup, but kid's pitching good. He's pitching real good.
And like, why is Miles Michaelis exempt from?
Like, that's another valid point as well.
I think your Alvarez analysis there is fine. I actually wonder, it's not really fantasy, but like we've talked all year about how bad the Nats rotation has been. They do have Cavalli, Alvarez, and Foster the Griffin. Like, I wonder if they make a move to add a four starter or something at the deadline. And they, like, with their offense, they're at 500, the Nats. Like,
they need to get a bulk. Not crazy. Problem. They need a bulk to go with it.
They sent Gus on the bus.
Yeah, well, Beater came out in the seventh on Thursday. Back-to-back nights where the bullpen just blew the lead versus Philadelphia, and blowing is the nicest way I could put it. Like, just got annihilated. And then, yeah, the Gus bus blows it in the ninth on Thursday night. I think before his towel dried, he was on a bus to AAA. Like, that report was already coming out. So, the Gus bus to AAA. Beater's technically the closer, but my God, he's been bad, so... That's their biggest weakness.
Maybe there are too many holes there. They need to revamp a bullpen and get two starters. So maybe not.
They're so close, though, is the crazy part. Like,
I know.
It's a good point you made. It's really – maybe they should trade Harry Ford.
Yeah.
Too soon?
No, not too soon, but they can. Yeah. They should do that.
All right. Chicago Cubs, they have six games this week, all in Wrigley, three versus the Padres, three versus the Cardinals, one lefty and five righties. For the Cubbies, and I'm just going to ask you right now, Ryan, because this is a thing that Colonel and I talked about. What the heck are they doing with Matt Shaw?
Dude,
they started Conforto the last two righties over him, I am ready to break something.
I hope Curlin went off because, yeah, it was during our rapid fire section,
so kind of.
But, like, what are Matt Shaw is like, what are we doing?
He was swinging it so well. I just do not
understand. Why Matt Shaw suddenly is not playing if it was some young guy who has potentially see a long time, which that is Shaw, I could, you know, it's at least explainable. But Michael Conforto, you guys kidding me? It's terrible, man.
Yeah,
I noticed
that when I was doing the playing time with Curran. I didn't realize I thought it was like just a day off today. And then I looked at that, like, this is building into a trend that I'm not going to be happy about.
No, last two righties, and Shaw was a short side platooner before he went to the IL. So,
and the worst part is nothing's really changed. No one came off the IL. Nothing. So
the only thing that's changed is Matt Shaw is like hitting really well.
Like, yeah, like, oh God, let's not get his hopes up. Let's tamper things down again. Like that was baffling to me. Craig Counsell should get thrown into the sun. Get in line, I guess. But yeah, that's my comment there. And Pedro Ramirez has played three straight games. Pedro Ramirez is DHing. DH Conforto if you want to play the guy.
Yeah.
Like, Shaw should not be on the lineup, but yeah.
But it sucks. I mean, if you have Shaw for fantasy, like you
– I already.
This was my problem when I got him in the Vegas auction. You don't know what to do with him.
I benched him for the weekend, and I know that's probably going to backfire now. I'm not dropping him this weekend. I still have faith they're going to make the right call, but I had the luxury. I put a Rosarena in for him in most places, so that's an easy swap. But that was Shaw was the easy one to go to the bench. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Crazy.
Okay. Pitching side, though, real quick. Matthew Boyd came back on Thursday, pitched okay, over 4 2/3 innings, 4 walks, limited things there. Ben Brown to the IL with another neck injury, similar to the 2024 neck injury that made him miss the rest of the season. I'm still waiting for the final diagnosis on that before it happened, because that was kind of a weird post. No beat writer reported that one on Thursday, so kind of waiting on that. And then Edward Cabrera to the IL with a hamstring injury. He's going to probably miss a few weeks because he had to get carted off for that one.
Yeah, rotations in shambles. I mean, I guess the facade is safe. Yep. He's pitched better lately.
I'll be bidding on him.
We all know where the facade takes you, Javier Assad. But yeah, I could see some waterfalls with Javier facade in them, albeit quite low. Just because he's got a rotation spot for the foreseeable future, given all the injuries. I agree. Ben Brown's trending toward a drop, but let's get confirmation. Yeah,
I want the final. Like, Assad next week at San Diego, they're not good. And then the final week before the All-Star break, it's a two-step. It's at Baltimore, which doesn't scare me, but then at Great American Small Park. Cincinnati hasn't been that great of late.
But yeah, that doesn't scare me that much. I don't know.
And then, are you interested in David Peterson by chance?
No.
Not. The only reason I say this, I go back to like how we've talked about him year after year. It's like, is he elite? Not even close. But we know when he's not walking guys, he's a ground ball pitcher that can get strikeouts and get you through the problems. So yes, it's a big if, but they have already showcased like the Cubs defense is a massive upgrade over the Mets, which could help. And I'm not saying in 12 teams to go pick David Peterson up by any means, but there's got to be, like, he gets the Cardinals next weekend, which, you know, whatever. And then at Great American the following week, I think there's a world where we're going to see more David Peterson in 15-team lineups than I think we want to admit right now.
You're probably right. I have streamed David Peterson this season, and spoiler alert, it did not work out well at all. I just don't think he's good. But there's a lot of bad teams against lefties that I could see him doing it.
And then anything on the bullpen, like, we haven't had any clarity this week to help with the problem. And I stayed away from it anyways, but there really hasn't been a whole lot going on there.
I did add some Jacob Webb, and it hasn't looked good at all. Blew the save on Saturday, did not pitch well on Wednesday either. I don't know if there's another option there. There's another Trent Thornton, you know, just to screw with me even more. Trent Thornton as an option in the Cubs pen. I'm staying away from it. I may hold Webb another week, but I don't have my hopes up there.
Yeah. We'll see. I think a whole bullpen is a mess, and we haven't gotten a Plenty update yet either. So hopefully someone, like, it's weird because Thielbar was the guy the first time and he's still there, but he hasn't become the guy this time, and that confuses me a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, Cincinnati Reds, 7 games this week, 4 at Milwaukee, 3 at home versus Baltimore, 2 lefties and 5 righties. It's 3 righties in Great American Small Park, if you're looking for that one. Cincinnati Reds, like we said a second ago, they are struggling. Anything on this? But Day sat versus lefty, did pinch hit on Wednesday. So it's something to kind of keep in mind, but maybe something to watch is Ellie De La Cruz returned, and that could move some pieces around.
Yeah, indirectly. There are always a lot of moving parts with the Reds. I'm not too worried about the Sailor Blade yet, though he has cooled quite a bit recently.
A lot, yes. Him and Nathaniel Lowe, a lot.
Yeah, and like to the point where I don't even know. Like, this is actually, so it's a lot of righties, but it's a pretty tough schedule. It's a 19% K-minus walk for the 7 starters going against the Reds, though Jacob Mizorowski probably accounts for half of that, given how good Mizorowski. He has been.
You got the Miz, you got Harrison, who can deal. Drohan and Sproat just dominated them.
Yeah, true. So it's not, it's not the best schedule out there. And Lowe hasn't been good. Blade's been, I'd still probably throw Blade out there, but I could see you trying to jump off ship if you want to get ahead of a upcoming cold streak with JJ Blade.
Proud of you on that one, by the way. Thanks. Anything else on the Reds? The pitching's pretty much what it is, and it doesn't excite me. Santian's still the guy, but Pagan might be back next week.
Yep, that's the headline, I think, for the Reds is Pagan. Yeah, starting a rehab assignment. I don't know exactly when he's going to pitch, but usually relievers don't need, especially veteran relievers like Pagan, probably only need a start or two or an appearance or two in your bag.
They have them scheduled for two outings. I think it was thought it was supposed to be tonight and Sunday, but maybe it's Friday and Sunday. I'm trying to check right now, but he's basically supposed to be ready to, or yeah, it was scheduled to be Thursday night and Saturday night and then return potentially next week.
So could pitch Monday in the big league. So like to the point where like if I have Pagan, sure, let's see how he looks, you know, on Monday when you're doing lineups, but you could probably put Pagan in your lineup for next week. And then if you have Santillan, obviously
you can drop him.
You can drop him. So but still that's gonna be a tough call to make on Sunday. So we'll see. But
I'd start him. At worst he gets one more rehab appearance and he's back by middle of the week. Like I got Pagan, I'm putting him in unless he has a setback on Saturday's outing.
Yep. So. Yep.
All right. The Milwaukee Brewers, they have seven games this week, four at home versus Cincy, three at Arizona. Really solid week for hitters, but it's four lefties and three righties, which might screw a few things up. Weirdly enough, Yelich has sat versus the last two lefties. Keep that in mind. That's the off day plan. So you might get a couple days off this week. Not like you're going to do a whole lot about that, but something to monitor. Other than that, I don't have a ton when it comes to the Brew Crew.
Yeah, I don't either. There's a bunch of platoon bats, so it's tough for even your guy, Jake Bowers, with three righties. He could still do it.
Cooper Pratt's 38%. He's had a down week, but the dude can run crazy.
That's also your guy. You got him in Fab a bunch of spots, didn't you?
A couple. Shaw was my bigger bat this past week. So yeah.
Only five of your Fab leagues.
Yeah, let's be specific here, Ryan. Which ones are you discussing with me here? Mine or yes.
Yeah. Juggling a lot over there. No, I don't have anything on the lineup, nor probably the rotation.
I don't have much there. Logan Henderson rehab starts this weekend, should require a second one before potentially coming back. So you're gonna get the Drohan for at least another week, it looks like. And he's scheduled for a two-step versus Cincy at Arizona. He's 64%, so I would fix that real quick. I still don't believe in Brandon Sproat. I will say that much.
Yeah, I mean, Henderson, when he's back, he will have a spot. It's just who does he boot?
Yeah, so he might not be back till after the All-Star break for all we know, but it's soon for Henderson. But yeah, Drohan, I'd make a point to try to pick up if he's available in one of the 36% of OCs. And the bullpen is it's McGill's world, which is crazy.
I love how Abner Uribe like just served his one game suspension like this week for the crotch. Very convenient on an off day.
Speaking of the CBA, how should we change that? No, I'm just kidding.
I also don't care.
Pittsburgh Pirates, seven games on the road this week, four at Philadelphia, three at Washington, two lefties and five righties. Man, they get Christopher Sanchez and Wheeler in that Philadelphia series. Hoot the Maggie. Ooh. But what do you got for the Pittsburgh Pirates, who Spencer Horwitz on the IL with a hamstring injury, moved Ryan O'Hearn to first base, and Esmerlin Valdez got the start in the outfield. He seems to be the winner of the situation.
I mean, so that was the thing I was going to bring up. I've been teased by Valdez in the past, and it has not worked out. Do you think, and I guess we'll have the weekend to monitor, but that was my read on it, too. It was like O'Hearn fills in for Horwitz, which opens up right field for potentially Valdez. But who knows? The Pirates could send Valdez down tomorrow and shocked. So I really like Valdez. I like the skills. Like I said, I've picked him up in a couple spots and I've been burned just because Pirates haven't wanted to play him every day. But maybe this Horowitz injury forces the hand.
Yeah, I would watch obviously the weekend, but I would definitely keep an eye on Valdez. If he plays at least two out of the three this weekend, I think that's your answer. And yeah, the Philly series is a little tricky. He gets Nola and then Alan Rangel later in that series, but then you get the after Foster the Griffin, you get Lytle and Mikolas. That's a good weekend series for him. So Esmerlin would be a guy I would keep on my radar as well.
Yep.
Anything on the pitching side with the Pittsburgh Pirates?
Nope. Rotation stable. Bubba Chandler's turned things around somewhat, so he's good.
Very very serviceable right now, which is good to see. I'm always happy to see a Bubba succeed. St. Louis Cardinals have six on the road, three at Atlanta, three at the Cubs, three lefties and three righties for the Cardinals, and honestly, they don't have a ton of platooning anyways.
No, they're pretty straight up, and thus I don't have anything for the Cardinals.
I don't either. I just want to check one quick thing here before we move on there. Blaze Jordan's still only 54%, and the dude is raking at the moment.
So that's your boy.
Driving in a ton of runs. So I would make a point to try to get, like, literally dude's hitting 286. He's got 12 RBIs already on the season. So that's something I would look to remedy if you need a coin. He's first base and third base eligible. Pitching side, anything of interest there? Palante threw great in step one this weekend. If you're looking for someone, even Kyle Leahy pitched well, and I don't trust him, but I do trust Palante, weirdly enough. And if we're looking at St. Louis's upcoming schedule, you Cubs got Leahy gets a two-step next week because of the rainout on Thursday. He gets at Atlanta, at the Cubs. Not a big fan of that. At Wrigley. Yeah, Palante's at Wrigley next week, then Milwaukee. That's tricky as well. So one move, the guy I'm looking to add this week is Hunter Dobbins. I think he's going to be in that rotation pretty soon. It just feels like if you can spec on a guy at a 15-12s, don't worry about it. But like in my AC where pitching is so bad, like Dobbins will be a guy that'll be on my waterfalls this week. I'm very interested in that.
You like him, huh?
Yeah, and I saw a good tweet from Matt Thompson. I can't remember what it was, but it was something about like it was move somebody out of the rotation and put Dobbins in, and it made a lot of sense actually.
Hey, and Thompson I trust with the Cardinals. Yep. So
Hunter Dobbins is a guy that, again, in 12s probably not necessary, but in 15s, if you're struggling for pitching like I am in my AC, he will be on my radar for sure.
Yeah, it's still pretty desperate, but I get it in 15s.
I am desperate. I'm very desperate. Javier Fassad is one of the top options right now in that league, so very, very desperate.
Good.
Arizona Diamondbacks, 6 games at home this week, 3 against the Giants, 3 against Milwaukee, 1 lefty and 5 righties for the D-backs.
Max Kepler is back in our lives. Is that an ad in a 580 week? The post juice Max Kepler.
If he goes off, go for it, King. I'm not doing it at all.
No. All right, just
you can
it
if you want.
There.
He's going to be a popular ad, but I'm
especially if he does
that.
Something this weekend.
Yeah.
How old is Max Kepler?
Max Kepler is a whopping 33 years old.
Yeah, he's getting up there a little bit.
Yeah, they probably popped him after he took a blue chew the night before. That's why he was on the thing. But I'm not interested.
I was gonna look at his minor league numbers this year, but it's 38 total plate appearances, so not even gonna do it. Yeah, I don't know.
Pitching side of things, if Jose Cabrera sticks, he was very impressive in his first start.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one to look into as well. And right now he's projected to get Milwaukee next week and then San Diego the following week, which could be really nice.
Yeah, agreed. I had a commenter in my HQ Fab article last week ask about Jose Cabrera. So I had to look him up.
Who?
In my own mind, yes. Did not in the comment. However, Jose Cabrera, I mean, really good numbers in the minors this year, and I mean, he's young. I don't know how good, but yeah, worth a shot. Cabrera in 15s, like I would take him over Dobbins, I think.
Yeah, no, I would too, because he's actually got a job for now, so fully agree with you there, and the skills might be better as well. They got Brendan Faught projected to come back next week against the Giants. Do with that as you wish. I wanted to see that Mitch Bratt guy pitch some more, but they sent him back already.
So. That was weird because I was about to come on here and like say Mitch Bratt, but he got sent down. Did he make like one start?
Yeah, I made one start, got sent back down. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, pretty big bummer on that one. But just keep an eye on what Arizona's doing, because heck, maybe they do call Mitch back up. Who knows? But right now they got Brendan Faught projected to pitch starting next week in the rotation, which they already said they were stretching him out to bring him back. So wouldn't surprise me. Colorado Rockies, 7 games this week, all at home, 4 versus the Marlins, 3 versus the Giants, 1 lefty and 6 righties for a Rockies team that is just full tilt mode. And I will say, Brenton Doyle and Jordan Beck started a rehab assignment this week. So the murky waters might get worse.
Just keep brewing that Keurig. Just That's all I ask in center field. Cole Kerrig needs to play in center. Mickey Moniak is back. This is a golden week for Mickey Moniak. It's more of a start sit than a pickup. I think Mickey Moniak is pretty widely rostered, but you roll there hitting second. Do you roll with Troy Johnston this week? Doesn't give much power speed juice, but he's hitting over 300. Get seven games in Coors.
He's not playing every day, though. He's barely playing, even versus righties. It's been bad.
He's started two of the last three. I don't know. See how he who the hell do they play this weekend? Rockies. We could see this weekend. Rockies get two righties, one lefty. I don't know. So yeah, see the playing time with Johnston. I will stop at recommending Edouard Julian, however.
Yeah, please don't.
He's been awful.
Yeah, Jake McCarthy's widely rostered, but him, TJ Rumfield, right. they're like the staples in there. Same with Slick Willie, but I've seen them on wires, so just look around. You might find them, especially if like on Fantrax or Yahoo's. Good weeks for them is what I would say.
Virginia Tech legend TJ Rumfield and fellow field, Bloomfield and Rumfield. Let's go.
Oh, Jesus. I love that he spells it. Never mind. Yes. Oh, your dad. Never. I'm going to stop. Pitching, we just don't do pitching.
No, we skip. Auto skip.
In Colorado. Dodgers, seven games this week, three at Sacramento. I think it's Jump Springs again. Lovely. Four at home versus San Diego, two lefties and five righties for the Dodgers.
Teoscar is probably the big name. Not really for an ad, but it sounds like he'll be back this coming week, I think. So,
yep, supposed to be.
Probably is the death knell for.
Actually,
Ryan
Ward. No. He's starting a rehab assignment this week.
Yeah, so he'll probably be back next week.
No, like on Tuesday next week. I mean, it's not, like talking about week 15. He's not on a rehab assignment. No, he is. Never mind. I'm an idiot. Yeah, he'll be back next week. You're right. Stupid. Continue. It's getting late.
I don't even know where I was at.
Yeah, Teoscar.
I'm not going to continue.
But he's coming back.
Yeah.
Are you going to pick up your boy, Tommy Edman? He's 42% rostered.
Oh, I already have, Bubba. Don't worry.
Are you
he's
still
playing all over? I don't know if he. The playing time isn't as solid as I thought. So we'll see.
Jesus, Teoscar hit two home runs in his first rehab game yesterday.
Yeah, like my man might be back Friday.
Yeah, like that could change.
Like, does Teoscar really need to do anything else in the minors?
No, not at all. Just wait and bring him back for Sacramento. Bring him back on Tuesday after Gage Jump pitches, please. Jump still has not allowed a home run in all of baseball. They mentioned that, and I'm like, great, that means he's gonna have four on Monday. But yes, Edmund's the only guy that's really worth rostering. It seems like Will Smith's neck's going to fall off. I don't know what happened there. Bizarre situation.
Probably.
But as usual, not a whole lot.
Oh, guillotine type deal for Will Smith. I don't know what happened to his neck.
It's weird. Slept on it. He must have got the Michael King pillow. Really weird deal.
Yep.
San Diego Padres, they have seven games on the road, three at Chicago, Cubs, four at the Dodgers, three. So they get to finish next week and four in LA. Awesome. Three lefties and four righties for the Padres.
I don't know. Freddie Fermin's back as a second catcher. I'm not going to recommend Ty France, though he has been hitting well, but not going there either. So, no, not really.
Yeah, JP Sears is up. The one guy I'll recommend because my biggest move pitching wise last week where I could get him is Walker Buehler. He's got the Dodgers tomorrow. I'm not excited about that, but he's been pitching great over the last month or so. Like ratios, the swinging strike, things are looking more Walker Buehler-esque right now. So that is a guy I would keep an eye on going forward because after this Dodgers series, Walker Buehler gets to face next week, gets the Cubs and Wrigley, and then a two-step against Arizona and Toronto before the All-Star break. So I like to make some Walker Buehler if you're interested in that.
Good call. I was going to immediately disown that, but you are correct. He's been average, which for Walker Buehler is a market improvement.
Very market improvement. So get ahead of that one while you can and stream away. Last but not least, the moment everyone looks forward to on this show, the San Francisco Giants. They have six games on the road, three at Arizona, where they usually get swept, three at Colorado, two lefties and four righties for the Giants. Elliot Ramos should be back next week. So that's where the fun begins. Does he go back to center field? Does Jung-Hoo Lee go to center field? That's the both of them will be playing because you can't take Schmidt out of the lineup. So does Drew Gilbert go away? Is I think it's a right-handed bat that leaves, so it's either going to be Jonah Cox or Victor Barracito, who has homered in back-to-back games, but neither one of them play versus righties, so I think one of them goes. Doesn't really matter in the end. Reality is it's just standard lineup now. The Giants are throwing out the same guys. Arise has a messed up foot, but he's supposed to be back this weekend. So really nothing to do with the hitting side of things, unless you have anything.
No, I don't.
And I got nothing. Trevor McDonald sticking in the rotation. Last two starts have been bad. Let's see how he does Friday night against Atlanta. That'll be a start. And then, again, like as usual, don't touch the bullpen.
You did give Ryan Walker some love earlier on the show.
Well, I said it last week. I said, if you are crazy enough to do anything with the bullpen, I would speculate on Ryan Walker because I could see him leading the team in saves the rest of the year whenever he gets that chance again. Right now, it's been like seventh and eighth inning for him. Killian's not the answer. No one's been the answer. Ryan Walker might not be the answer, but at least he's done it before. And if anybody can try to do it again, it'll be him. But I don't want anything to do with it. The team doesn't win games anyway, so like it doesn't matter.
If Ryan Walker is the answer, you're asking the wrong question.
There you go. Well said, amigo. Anything else on the top 30 teams' schedules this week before we talk some two steps?
No. Really no reliever ads. It's brutal. Some decent starting pitching ads, more so than I thought. And then
a lot more starting pitching options this week.
Yep. Seems somewhat fruitful. I'll never call it fruitful, but
which warms the cockles. So that's great. All right. Two step time. Arizona Diamondbacks, Eduardo Rodriguez. First the Giants, first Milwaukee. He has been awesome.
He has. The skills don't really back it up, but I would roll with E-Rod. Ooh.
Yep. You do it. Gage jump versus the Dodgers versus Miami. Got to do it, but good guys.
You have to. That Dodger start scares the hell out of me, but yeah, you have to.
Buckle up, folks. Atlanta, Grant Holmes versus St. Louis versus the Mets. I think you got to do that one too, weirdly enough.
I think you got to do it, though. That could be tough. Cardinals aren't bad against righties, and the Mets are now healthy, and we'll see. But in 15s, yeah, not in 12s for Holmes.
See, 15s for sure. 12s, it's like the coin toss based on what your other options are.
Yeah.
Boston, Rangers Suarez versus Washington at the Angels. That's a yes.
That is a yes.
Your boy Shota Imanaga almost has a 5 ERA now versus San Diego versus St. Louis.
Yes, of course.
Nick Lodolo, if he's back, he's got the wrist contusion, but they expect him to make his next start at Milwaukee versus Baltimore.
I don't know, man.
So bad. I benched him this week. It was only one start, but I benched him. I don't trust him at all right now.
I think I'd bench and see what this post wrist looks like. He's been awful.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like I'm not cutting him yet, but honestly, in a 12, no. It's getting close. It's getting close in 12s because the skills don't even support him anymore. It's bad. Yeah,
agree. I mean, agreed. But
it's like 15s, you're not. But at 12s, like this is where you guys start pulling pins pretty quick. And another week or two of this, he's gone. So. That's where I'm at there. Cleveland, Parker Messick, that's a yes. Tanner Bibee versus Texas versus the White Sox. I think so. He's been pitching really well of late.
Yeah, Bibee's pitched really well of late. Big pitch mix change lately as well. He's, I think, number one on the Bloom boards, live Bloom boards for pitch mix change over the last month for Tanner Bibee. So, yeah, roll with him.
Outstanding. No Colorado plays. White Sox, Sean Burke at Baltimore at Cleveland.
Yes.
Eric Fede at Baltimore at Cleveland.
Yeah, we talked. I don't like the Baltimore. I like the Cleveland. So probably not. Probably not.
What I will say is him having two steps actually makes him at least more enticing because I mentioned he doesn't go deep into games. That's the only so you still might not get wins, but at least you could accumulate more this week. You could also accumulate more bad.
Yeah, so, you could accumulate terrible ratios.
I'll clarify that real quick, but just want to throw that out there. Detroit doesn't have any two steps potentially because Flaherty's return next week. Houston, because Christian Javier comes back, not recommending picking that guy up. Just keep that in mind. The Royals, they only have 5 games. The Angels are a mess. Not a lot of two steps. The Dodgers have a potential two step this week. And right now it's projected to be Eric Lauer at Sacramento versus the Dodgers. I am very excited about that.
Versus the Padres, right?
Sorry, Padres. Yes, he's 14% rostered. That needs to change. I have him all over my 15s, but that's almost worthy of a 12 stream.
The Padres start is nice. The A's could destroy Lauer. I mean, Lauer's like not that great. I'd do it in 15s, but I don't know. That has blow up potential.
They even had an opener for him last time when he pitched a phenomenal after that.
That would always help. Yeah.
Marlins, Sandy Alcantara at Coors at Sacramento. Good God. That's oof.
It's tough. He's pitched better of late. I'd probably do it. Yeah, I would probably do it.
Yuri Perez at Colorado at the A's.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, yes. Yeah, you have to.
Dude. Milwaukee Sprout versus Cincinnati at Arizona.
Great pair of two steps. Yes, I would do Brandon Sprout.
And then don't mess with the Drohan versus Cincinnati at Arizona. That's a yes.
Love how you keep saying that. I have no idea. Was that the whatever Futurama?
That was the Adam Sandler movie. It's a movie. Which don't one? Mess with the Zohan. Don't mess with the Zohan.
That's the name of the movie? Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, you got to check it out. I got multiple people texting me last Friday about it.
I like Sandler too. Jesus. That's a good bad.
One. It's one of his great just turn your brain off movies. That's what he does. Yeah. He's a hairstylist, but he's also like a assassin. He's got to watch out.
Oh, that's right. We already talked about that. I already forgot about that. Oh, my God.
Minnesota Twins, Zebby Matthews at Houston at the Yankees. No, thank you.
Yeah, I would probably not do that.
Nolan McClain at Toronto at Atlanta.
Don't know what to do with this guy. I would throw it, yes. But, man, that Atlanta start could end poorly.
They're playing bad right now. Let's see if it stays for another week, but yes. Yankees, Ryan Weathers versus Detroit versus Minnesota, yes.
Yep.
Aaron Nola versus Pittsburgh at Kansas City.
Let's go. Yes. I would do it.
I'll even support that. Braxton Ashcraft, so yes. Bubba Chandler at Philadelphia at Washington. That's a tricky one.
That's a tricky one, but Bubba's pitching better lately. I would do it.
15s for sure, most likely in a 12. Griffin Canny, no. Germán Márquez, no. I was going to skip both those for you. Márquez coming off the IL, just don't do it, folks. Brian Wu, assuming the piggyback is out of play here, versus the Angels versus Toronto.
Even if the piggyback is in play. I mean, he has been struggling, but it's...
No, but I mean, in theory, he's the next piggyback, like I said, because him and Kirby have not piggybacked yet. Oh, I think they have it projected because Kirby's not in the next five games. So one of those is a piggyback.
But you're still throwing Wu. Like, yeah, if he's been, piggyback.
He's been bad. But yes,
I know, but I mean, yeah. He's good still.
Tyler Molly at Arizona at Colorado.
Oh.
He actually pitched well in his last
That's
start,
your
which
guy.
Is terrifying. Against I the defer. A's the other night, he pitched well. I'm not doing it, but honestly, I'd monitor him. He's had his moments. But
he's pitched well. I'm not doing it.
No, he pitched well in his return against the A's. He has not pitched well overall. Kyle Leahy at Atlanta at the Cubs. No.
No.
Griffin Jacks at Kansas City at Houston. Yes. Yes, he's pitched really well.
Yeah, I would do.
He struggles to get more than five innings because they keep him on like an 80 pitch count, which is stupid. But yes, he's pitched really well.
It's not that dumb.
Jacob
for fantasy, DeGrom, it's dumb.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's for real life. The Rays do all the right real things in real life. So I can't argue that. But for us, it sucks. Jacob DeGrom at Cleveland versus Detroit. He has struggled, but yes.
Yeah.
Trey is Savage versus the Mets at Seattle. Yes.
Yep.
I think I know the answer here, but let's just finish things off. Miles Mikolas at Boston versus Pittsburgh.
I think we can call it a show at this point.
Yeah, you can mess with the Mikolas. All right, let's do some questions from the old Discord here before we wrap her up. Let me find the page.
But while you're finding that, shout out to Tom in the chat. Says, love the pod. You guys make me laugh, plus all the great knowledge. We appreciate that, Tom. Thank you very much.
All righty.
I tried to give you time and come on.
You didn't post anything in here today. That's why I was looking for it. So that's the problem.
What do you mean I didn't post anything? Oh, ask for questions.
So I'm deciphering between Curlin show and this. Kevin Hastings says, for an entire month, Carlos Cortez started versus every right-handed pitcher, but has sat for four of the past six. Two for 30 will do that. I'd like to hold but can't play him first half of the week. Weekend doesn't look good at the moment in spite of three right-handed pitchers. It appears that at least 3 to 6 lefties following week. Is it a thank you for your services for Cortez?
It is. It is time to move on from Carlos Cortez.
And then Free Cooper Union says, any buy low hitters, thank you, Bloom, for 2026's all second half team. I was additionally thinking of Gunnar Henderson. So you wrote an article at HQ, not expecting you to give it all away, but any buy low hitters you're keeping your eye on right now?
Yeah, so I mean, Cooper's read the article, so this may not be much help to him, but it kind of ties up the show. Roberto Hernandez was the cover boy of that column, and I think he was. I can't even remember. Right. But you're right. It was Eldridge.
Yes.
But I did write up, so Eldridge was in there. That's right. But Roberto Hernandez is the cover boy of this show, and I did write him up in the HQ article. I just think, I don't even know if it's a buy low because he's not low. It's just he's really good. So, Gunnar Henderson, what do you think about Gunnar? I think he's too good and too young to be this bad.
I'm with
he's
you.
Not even
I'm
been
with
that you. Bad,
we've,
really.
And we've seen him be super streaky before. Like a big summer could come up. Like I'm not opposed to that at all. Yeah. He is like I'd almost look at any like top 3 round hitters right now because most of them have not succeeded, and just look under the hood for a few minutes and see if there's anything worth getting excited about. You'll probably find 3 or 4 buy low guys right there.
Yeah, yeah, it's fair.
That's the quick and lazy way to go about it, I'd say, without digging deep into stats and stuff. That's where I'd start my conversation.
Yeah.
All right, we did it. Week 15 of the books, my friend. Any final thoughts? As like you said earlier, there actually is starting pitching to decipher this week and a ton of outfielders per usual. And the Marlins have a great week, and they have multiple guys you can pick up.
Yes, agreed. Agreed on all accounts. So not too bad of a fab week ahead. I will be Savannah Banana-ing this weekend. That's Saturday. It's supposed to rain, awesome. Which never happens in Oregon in the summertime, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I got Giants tomorrow night in San Francisco. Then I got a wedding on Saturday. Otherwise, I'm gonna Savannah Banana with you. And then, it's a busy weekend, so it's gonna be fun trying to put all this together.
And then I guess we're recording Sunday night
for
the Tuesday show. So
yep.
Well, and I'm off to the beach.
I think I'm water parking on Saturday, so I'll be ready to roll Sunday night. I mean Sundays. I'll be ready to roll Sunday night. Great.
God.
So, yeah.
I'm tired just listening to that.
I'm exhausted, yes, thinking about it as well. So we'll wrap things up there. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Again, if you have questions for us, just this thing called Discord. If you're a part of the Bubba and the Bloom Patreon, I recommend checking that one out. But until then, check out Ryan on the old Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BDN Trick, and for now, this is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 359. Catch you all next time. Thank you.